Have you ever gotten yourself into a situation where you started to doubt the choices that you had made? So there I was, about to get into a canoe for a two-day canoeing trip down the Rio Grande River. The problem with the situation, well, there was quite a few of them, was number one, I had never been in a canoe before, ever in my entire life. Number two, I am not the greatest swimmer. I prefer to stay in the shallow end of the pool. And then number three, as we are pulling up to the Rio Grande River, the guy dropping us off says, right now it's at flood stage. You guys better be careful out there because there'll be no one to help you. That's pretty reassuring to the guy who's never been in a canoe and is not a great swimmer. But my friend, John Van Pay, said, it's going to be fun. My friend, John Van Pay, said, trust me. And as we partnered up to get in our canoes, I got partnered with Johnny Houck. Praise the Lord, I got partnered with Johnny Houck because he's the complete opposite of me. He loves the outdoors. He loves the swim. I'm pretty sure he spent part of his life like living on a canoe. And he thought these next 2 days were going to be amazing. So as we start heading down this river, it's pretty calm. It's pretty easy. And Johnny's trying to help me out. He's trying to teach me. So he'd be like, we're going to go that direction, Chili. Start paddling. And as I started paddling, we'd start going this direction. And he would be encouraging, and that continued most of the trip. But as we got further and further down the river, the water started going faster. The rocks that were little now were becoming the size of houses. There was a place called Rock Slide, where it's class 2 or class 3 rapids, and I'm supposed to be canoeing through this. So Johnny comes up with this brilliant idea, and he says, Chili, I have a job for you. So I'm ready. Yeah, okay, let me hear my job. Put your paddle down. He's like, I need you to sit at the front of the canoe. Your job is to sit there and hold on. I became a human hood ornament for our canoe. But every time we pulled up to these big rapids, every time we're going to a dangerous spot, Johnny would just go, Chili, get to your position. Boom, I was ready. And we made it through every rapid, through every hazardous place. We never flipped over. I never had to get in the water. And I made it home safely from that trip. And what I want to tell you this morning is that there's some of you in here right now, God is saying, put the paddle down. Start trusting me. Start listening to what I'm telling you. Today, we are continuing our doubts series. And I understand that many of us in here have doubts. Doubts about the future. Doubts about our health. Doubts about our finances, doubts about our kids, doubts about relationships, doubts about our marriage, doubts about Christianity, doubts about God, and doubts about God's character. But can I tell you, doubts question trust, faith builds trust. Doubts question trust, faith builds trust. And faith is the beginning of our relationship with God. Faith is the beginning of our relationship with God. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by faith and not by seeing. Doubts question trust. Faith builds trust. But we need to be careful with our doubts. When we start giving our time, our energy, our attention to doubt, it leads us into unbelief. And unbelief is the absence of trust. Unbelief is the absence of trust. And an absence of trust in any relationship will destroy it. Take a marriage, for example. If you're in this marriage, but the spouse starts doubting, there starts being questions. There starts being these questions of, can I trust them? And if they continue to dwell on these doubts, as they continue to focus on this, and they put their energies on this, eventually they'll come to the place where they say, I don't really have faith in my spouse. I don't really have faith in my marriage anymore. And they'll come to the place where they can justify a divorce because they'll say, I can't trust them. I tried really hard. I tried to love them, but I just can't trust them. You see, unbelief is the absence of trust. And today my goal is to direct your attention off of your doubts and off of your unbelief and to focus our attention on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So why do we struggle with unbelief? Why do so many people say, well, I tried that Christianity thing, or I used to attend church, but we struggle with that unbelief? I believe it's because, as we say in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we're supposed to live by faith and not by seeing. The truth is we don't do that. We live by what we see. And situations come, circumstances come where you're like, I don't understand why this is happening. Why am I still having to deal with the same thing? It's been years. And whatever that circumstance, whatever you're seeing becomes how you base your image of God. And then you start asking the questions. You start having those doubts. Is God really listening? Is God really there? And as you dwell and you put your energies and you focus on those doubts, you come to a place where you say, well, since God isn't really listening, since God didn't help me in this circumstance, then since things didn't change, I can't trust God. I can't trust Him with anything. And you move on and you justify it. See, doubts question trust. Faith builds trust. So if faith builds trust, that means as you put your faith in Jesus, you might not understand everything. Putting your faith in Jesus does not mean it's going to be sunshine and rainbows. Does not mean it's going to be perfect. But as you continue to build that faith and keep saying, I'm going to believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you, even though my circumstance isn't changing, even though it doesn't seem like things are getting better, that faith grows into a trust that you know no matter what may come your way, that you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you know that Jesus said He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you. You see, faith builds that trust. But we have to remember that faith in Jesus does not change our circumstance and situation. The Bible said, Jesus said specifically in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We cannot let our doubts, our unbelief grow. We must grow faith and a stronger trust in Jesus Christ. Unbelief is evil. Because unbelief says that our doubts are greater than God. Hebrews 3:12, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. Unbelief hardens our heart. Our hearts become so hard that the things that used to convict us don't do anything anymore. The things that used to break our hearts, we're so cold, they don't matter. The tears that we used to cry are no longer there. Hebrews 3:13, you must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Unbelief leads to disobedience. Because when we don't get our way, when we don't get what we want, we will make the results happen. We will do whatever it takes. 2 Timothy 4:3 through 4 says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Unbelief limits God. Matthew 13:58. Now Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. For those struggling with unbelief today, I don't know your situation. I don't know your circumstance. You may have a million doubts going through your mind right now, but I can tell you one thing, that without a shadow of a doubt, that there is a God in heaven that loves you more than you will ever understand, and that you can put your trust in Jesus Christ. John 3:16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Your doubts, your unbelief is nothing new to Jesus. When he was here on this earth, he interacted with people every day who had doubts, who had unbelief. There were very few people who truly believed he was the Son of God. This upcoming week is Passion Week. And as you read through the Bible, you see the doubt and the unbelief that people had when they looked at Jesus to believe who he truly was. This happened even in his own disciples. They had their questions. They had their doubts. It even led some of them to have complete unbelief where they would deny him. So Jesus is not surprised by our doubts and our unbelief, but we have to come to a place that as we grow in faith, we can say that without a shadow of a doubt, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you. If you could turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 is a very important passage of scripture because it's one of the few places where there's an audible voice that confirms, an audible voice from God that confirms who Jesus was. You see, starting in verse 2, Jesus goes and he takes his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, they go to the top of a mountain. When they're at the top of this mountain, all of a sudden, Jesus shows his glory. They call it the transfiguration. He starts to glow. If I was one of those disciples, I would be freaking out at that moment. But he starts to glow. He shows who he truly is. And then an even amazing thing happens that the prophet Elijah shows up, and then Moses shows up, and they're hanging out up there. And the disciples, the Bible says, are terrified. I would be terrified. I'm in the presence of God. His glory is showing. And one of the disciples, Peter, speaks up. Peter seems to always speak up. And he's like, Jesus, it's good that we are here. Like he's like, this is the best place I could be at. Why don't we build tents for each one of you, for Moses, for Elijah, for you, and let's just stay here. And as Peter's speaking about this, a cloud just comes and is like covering them. Then it's the voice of God says, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." And after that, the cloud is gone and Jesus is standing there. And him and the disciples walk back down the mountain. Jesus tells them, "Do not talk about this till after I've been raised from the dead." And so they come down the mountain into the valley. And when they get down there, they walk right into an argument, starting in verse 16. "What are you arguing with them about?" Jesus asked. Then one in the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." So after Jesus clearly establishes who he is on the top of this mountain, he comes down that into the valley straight into unbelief. He went from the mountaintop to the valley. He went to this place on the mountaintop where there was no doubt who he was, to the valley where everyone's questioning who he is. And isn't that true of our own lives? When things are going good for us and we're at the top of that mountain, there are no doubts. That's when we're praising God. "Thank you, God, for everything you've blessed me with." But when we get to those valleys, when we get to those dark times, when we get to those situations that don't make sense to us, that's when the doubts start coming. "God, where are you? Why am I going through this?" And you see, this father was in a desperate situation and he had many doubts. He had been trying to get his son healed. He'd been trying to do whatever it took to make sure his son didn't have to deal with this problem. And I understand this father's situation. "My daughter's been going through a medical illness for over a year, and there have been times where they have no answers for us. They can't give us an exact thing that's going to help her, and it was frustrating at times." So I understand this father's frustration. He's like, "Nothing can help. Nothing's helping my son." But then there was a little bit of hope, because he goes to take his son to Jesus' disciples. And most likely he had heard about Jesus. Jesus was that rabbi who heals people. Jesus was that rabbi who would touch the eyes of those who were blind and they would see again. Who would help those who couldn't walk get up and walk. Who even raised the dead up back to life. And so he brings his son to Jesus' disciples. But the Bible says that they should cast it out, but they could not. And that's a big deal, because those doubts move to unbelief. Now, not even this Jesus, who's supposed to be a healer, not even his disciples can help my son. And that doubt became unbelief, most likely became anger and frustration. But I believe that in this moment, Jesus got a little frustrated. Jesus got a little bit of a holy anger inside of him. Because this is what he says in verse 19. Jesus answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he is thrown both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion and help us." Did you catch that father's statement? Did you catch the unbelief? If you can do anything, if And you see, I believe there are some of us in here this morning. You are facing a situation just like this father. Does it make sense? Maybe it's been going on for years, and there's doubts, and there's unbelief, and you're saying, I want to believe, Jesus, but there's a big if. I want to believe if you could do anything. And that if just echoes, if God's really listening, if God was really there, if. Jesus responds, and he said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. See, I love what Jesus did. He flips it around. See, the Father said the if was on Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, 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 no. The if is on you if you can believe. And you see, many of us in here today, we're saying, if you could do this, God, if you could help me with this, if you're even listening and God's saying, the if is not on me, the if is on you, if you can believe, if you can have faith, if you can trust. Faith is a choice, just as much as unbelief is a choice. We must choose faith. Immediately, the father of this child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The father didn't have all the answers. It wasn't laid out in front of him, but he had faith. He had just a little bit of faith to humble himself and say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you to take care of this situation. And in this situation, Jesus healed his son. But what I want to point out is that the father did not pray the prayer, Lord, I believe, heal my son. He prayed, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because Jesus is more worried about your faith and your trust in him than changing your situation. Jesus is more worried about your eternity, about your trust in him, your faith in him, more than changing your situation this morning. Because he loves you so much. God's ways are higher than our ways. We live by faith and not by sight. We're never going to truly understand everything that happens, but we need to continue to grow in our faith that we can say whether our circumstance stays the same, whether it gets worse, whether things never change, and again, it's just a bad situation, I can still say God is good. Jesus is with me. I can put my trust, my faith in him. We have to be able to come to that place as we grow in faith. And many of us, it starts with that prayer, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's the prayer I've had to pray over the last year. Over the last year, I've struggled with doubts and unbelief. There were days that I wrestled with this in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit. Which voice am I going to listen to? Am I going to listen to the voice of God in my faith and trust Jesus? Or am I going to listen to the lies, the doubts, and the unbelief? And it was something that was eating away at me. It was something I was wrestling with so much that it was starting to change me as a person. I didn't even realize it. I was becoming more angry. I was becoming more cold. And one morning, my daughter is standing at the sink, and she's on her step stool. And she turns around, and she says, Daddy, come over here. And she puts her hands on my face. And she says, Daddy, why don't you smile anymore? And it was like
Somebody had punched me right in the gut. It was like the enemy was ready just to knock me out and I was going to lay there on the ground. Because maybe I was never going to smile again. Maybe I was always going to be angry. Maybe I was going to be in this situation. But this situation also, it woke something up in me. And I heard God specifically say, what voice are you going to listen to? Are you going to continue to listen to the voice of doubts and unbelief and lies? Or are you going to listen to what I've already told you, that you are a son of God because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He laid down his life for you so that you could have eternal life, that you are his child, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. And in that moment, I had to pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I choose faith. And it's a choice that we all have to make.